Good morning. You're stuck with me again this week. I sure hope Kurt and Karen get back quickly and safely. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn to Acts 1. For the folks that weren't here last week, we went back into, I started an introduction of the book of Acts, which Kurt has kind of started and he's going to get into when he returns. And I went back into the book of Luke and pulled out some things that the Lord had spoke to me about, what he taught the disciples, what was required of their lives at that time. And we went over that last week. And it speaks to Bob, what is required. What does Christ ask of us as disciples of him? So we went over that last week. This week I'm going to go right back into the book of Acts and try to, in my feeble way, explain the power of prayer, praying in boldness. You know, I think I've shared it with you guys, the last year I've been studying the book of Acts, backwards and forwards, by several different, this gentleman that just spoke, John Piper. If you folks don't know who John Piper is, he's an awesome seminary professor and an awesome minister of the gospel. And he has just volumes on it. John Corson, that several of us in the church here follow and study, has volumes of it. And it's all over the place. But I want to go into, when I started studying the book of Acts, one of the things that the Lord spoke to me about, he gave me a curiosity. You know, I'm curious. I'm one of these kind of people, if I don't know everything I can know about something, I like to dig it up. I like to find out. And I'd read my Bible, as most of you know, I grew up in church, and I read my Bible, you know, as a little child. I've been reading my Bible all my life, but not like I have in the last couple of years. And I saw a difference this last couple of years when I started reading my Bible. And the Lord spoke to me through some of these other speakers, some of these other teachers, and I wanted to see what was different. There was definitely a difference in the disciples in the book of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Definitely a difference. Then we get to Acts, and these same folks are 180 degree different than they were in the Gospels. And that was curious to me. I wanted to know, how come? I mean, I could read the words on the page. I get that part of it. But what really set them apart? And when Kurt gets back next week, he's going to go into the first few verses of Luke chapter 1 into where we're going to start this morning. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to start in Acts 1, verse 4. I'm going to skip around to a couple verses here. I don't usually like to do this, but this is in keeping. This is in the same context. So in Acts chapter 4, chapter 1, verse 4. Thanks, Alice. Oh, I liked your blue hymnal thing, too. That was cool. I like changing up stuff, too. That was pretty interesting. Don't know if we've ever used the blue hymnal since Val and I've been here. I don't know. Have we ever did that before, Jim?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's Alice's fault, but thank you. I didn't. And the song that you said it sounded like? Never heard of it. I'd heard the melody, but I didn't know what that song was, but I knew the melody, so thank you for that. Keep up the good work. So, Acts chapter 1, verse 4. While he was with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise, which he said, you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. This is something that the Scriptures tell us that our Father has promised. This is something different. There's something coming on the horizon for these people that they're not familiar with. Okay, let's go to Acts 1:8. Let's jump up to 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So there's something coming, and it sounds like it's going to be powerful. You know, it sounds like they've hung a turban to a diesel engine. These men were moving along with Jesus Christ. They were anxious. They were ready to spread the gospel, but they weren't equipped. So they have done boosted up something. We're looking for something here that's new. And we're looking for something here that brings power. I hope this morning I can explain that just a little teeny bit about the power that they're talking about. My interpretation of that power is boldness. They needed a boldness that they didn't have. These same disciples, just a few books earlier, in every one of the Gospels, Peter denied Christ. He could see him. Christ predicted it. He said, ain't no way in the world. I ain't going to do that. And he did it. He didn't have that power. Okay. Go over to verse 12 and 14, same chapter. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. Anybody know how long that is? I love Sabbath day, huh? I love the Sabbath day because it gives me a Val, she takes a nap on the Sabbath day. That's one of the things that Val keeps. Very spiritual. Val's very spiritual on the Sabbath. It's 3/4 of a mile. So they... Oh my goodness, you sinner. 3/4 of a mile. I just thought that in. That's got nothing to do with being bold. That's just what they were doing. A Sabbath day journey away. When they arrived, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot. Move this over out of the way here. Got to turn the page. I'm holding a microphone this morning because the thing on my lapel doesn't work because of my beard. I was informed. Judas, the son of James. They were all continually united in prayer, along with the women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. They were continually united in prayer. Something new's coming. Something with power's coming. And they're in an upper room praying. I cannot imagine. I cannot in my life imagine, you know, this same group of men that all but John had pretty much ran and hid during the whole crucifixion. And then Jesus reappears to them. And then just in a few short verses, he's going to leave them. And here they are. They're ready to go. They've seen the power of the resurrection. They've seen what Christ has done. Now Christ has left them. And there was a reason that he did. He went to the Father so he could still be with them in spirit. You know, as long as the disciples stayed close, you know, as long as I come in here, I'm pretty good. As long as I stay close to you guys, my faith family. But on Monday morning, when I've got a whole plate full of work to do and something doesn't go well, I may not be that same person that's here this morning. I'm not real good at this. You know, I mean, I'm better than I used to be, but I'm a long ways from where I should be. And I think that's where the disciples were. I think as long as they were walking the seashores of Galilee with our Lord and Savior, as long as they seen miracles being performed, as long as they saw all these things taking place, and they were able to do some of these things, I think they were good to go. But God knew in his infinite wisdom that when he sent Christ to die on the cross, that he was going to leave these people. And without him coming in spirit, they're going to be like I am on Monday morning or Tuesday morning without the Spirit of the Holy, without the Holy Spirit on my life. And I want that. This message, like I say, every time, I'm so thankful that the few times Kurt's asked me to speak, I get to do it because I spend all week praying and reading my Bible. And my Thanksgiving week was so good. You know, we had a great meal, and I hope you all did too. It was the second time that Val and I have spent Thanksgiving alone. It wasn't planned that way a few months out, but it kind of developed into that. But I had time each and every morning to pray and to read my Bible and to get close with God. And it's an awesome privilege. That was my Thanksgiving week because I knew I had to stand before you folks on Sunday. And I knew I wanted to be able to present this in a way that would be worthy of what is about to take place in the book of Acts. What we're getting ready to see in the next few weeks is going to be amazing. And if we can just get a piece of it. You know, what we're doing here is not normal. It's supernatural. I don't want to make that mystic sounding. I don't want to make that sound something that it's not. But everything that's contained in this book, if it's just in and of the flesh, is not going to amount to anything but what the flesh amounts to. And that's nothing. Galatians 5:17 tells us the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. I want to do this. I want to do what this book says. But as I leave this building, as I leave your fellowship, as I leave you guys, you know, watching me, or if I'm not careful, I'm gonna drift off. So I have to continually pray. I have to continually read my Bible. Joshua 24:15 says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." It don't sound like that's a one-time thing. I think it is a one-time thing in a way, but it says, "Choose you this day." I think I have to choose tomorrow morning to get out of my bed, to get on my knees, to open this book, and to go before God every day. I need that. And if you guys don't have a big prayer list, put me on it, because I need that. And I'm not saying that to be cute. I want your prayers. I need them. I'm fighting a battle every day. The more I get into this, the more I see the battle rage. And I look forward to it, because I'm a warrior. I want to stand for Jesus Christ in the last days. And I want that stuff that we're going to see in the next few weeks. I want that. No matter what comes my way, no matter how hard this life gets, no matter what finances look like, no matter what the doctor says, no matter what anything takes place in my life, no matter about natural disasters. We just got back from Wilmington, and it was amazing, the devastation down there, and I appreciate your work. But no matter what happens, I want to cling to Christ. I want to keep moving forward. You know, when we talk about boldness, what are we talking about? You know, this week we saw a thing in the paper, or on the news, actually, I saw it on the news, where a young man, what's his name? John Allen, the missionary that went to the Sentinese Island this week, John Allen Chow, had actually got a glimpse of this. You know, social media has played that guy up as a lunatic. I've even heard him referred to as a colonialist. You know, he was an idiot in the world's eyes. Right now, I think there's 17 people groups in the world. I'm not off by many. There may be 20. But there are, I think, 17 people groups in the world that are unreachable. You cannot reach them. It's against the law. It's a death sentence. And they're just, you can't go there. I've been following this island for years because it's intrigued me. And this young college student got a call on his life to go to an island that was certain death. He was there for, he had two visits. On the 16th, he hired a group of people to take him in a boat 3 miles offshore, jumped in a kayak, and paddled to shore. Now, this wasn't an uneducated kid. This wasn't a guy that just had this idea. The Lord had given him this burden several years ago. He had been praying about this. He had been all over the world as a missionary. And so he takes a kayak and he paddles to shore. And he takes a Bible, a ball, and some food as a gift. And when he reaches that shore, real similar to the story of John Elliott, we've all heard that story, you know, impacted the world for the spread of the gospel. these people came out, and not sure what type of contact, only he was there that would be able to explain it. But an arrow was shot at him, and it hit his Bible. So he gets back in his kayak, paddles 3 miles out to shore, gets back in the fishing boat, and returns to wherever they set out from. The next day, he's back. We're going to see some of this in the book of Acts. We're going to see Paul stoned to death, drug outside of a city, and the next day he's preaching in a city square. What does that take? What does Bob Ivins, what would that happen? What would happen in my life to make me that bold? The next day, this young man returns. And for all we know, shortly after he arrives, he's killed. In our flesh, that looks pretty, you know, I mean, shoot me one time and it hits my Bible, I could interpret that as a sign that I'm not supposed to be there. But this man had a burden for those souls. I don't have any idea how that's going to work out. But I know we have a sovereign God. And I know God said, until every tongue and every tribe have heard my word, I'm not coming back. So we got 17 groups of people in this world that need me to be bold. They need people like Jacob to be bold. Need people that we have seen time and time again, young men and young women that need to be bold for the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no low-hanging fruit left. There's no easy places to go. And pretty soon we're going to see it right here. We're seeing a decline in our church population. We're just seeing a decline in spiritual things in the USA. We've had it too good for too long. This works through persecution the best. I wished it didn't. Like I say, in my flesh, I'd as soon just come to church on Sunday. So that's this Christian boldness. I've seen it worked out in my life. I grew up with a mother that was a very timid. She was a little teeny old lady. She was a little teeny old, I mean, she was a bitty little thing. And about the time I became a teenager, my mom and my dad had an opportunity. My dad was an evangelist at that time and a church planner. And he had the opportunity to go to a revival that someone from Central America was preaching. And they got it. You know, they got it 100%. You know, my dad was just a typical Methodist preacher. He loved it. I know. It was rough. I mean, you know, we dressed up in our little suits. You probably got them. Alice, you're probably ashamed to wear them. I had pins that ran all the way. Did you ever get your pins? You don't have any pins? I don't know where mine are, but we used to get one for every year, and that was cool, wasn't it? I mean, there's got to be somebody here who's got some pins. Thank you, Miss Gladys. She's got some pins. But so we went to a revival meeting, and in that revival meeting, like I say, I was young. Something happened to my parents. They got real, real, real weird, and they called it. And my mom went from being a little timid lady that was always a follower. Within a few short years, she became a leader. In a few short years, she was standing in front of audiences preaching the Word of God. In a few short years, she was on the state board of our denomination, and she was being sent to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. When I was a young kid, we lived on a farm. And we didn't have no air conditioning. I guess probably most of you folks didn't need it. We did. We needed it. It was hot and humid where I grew up. I mean, 100 degrees and 100% humidity was a nice day. The Eastern Shore of Maryland was the most humid place. It was terrible. So we didn't have air conditioning. We had window fans. And we'd sit in front of the window fans, and we'd blah in the window fan. You know how you do when you was a kid. That was awesome. And no one else in that whole community had air conditionings. But I can remember being out in the field, working in a farm with those windows up in a little village of Burrsville, Maryland, hearing my mom pray for me, call out my name, this little timid lady, claiming me for Jesus. That's what I want. I don't want to see none perish. I want to be like Paul. If it's in Avery County, that'd be awesome. If it's in Africa, that'd be awesome. I don't care. But I want to do that. I want to read those scriptures, and I want those scriptures to come alive. And I just don't want to talk about it. I want to do it. You know, I'm 60 years old. I got to get on with it. Some of you folks that are 70 say, you got plenty of time. Well, you know, I don't want to waste any more time. So that's what we're talking about in boldness. We have a conviction, a courage, and an urgency that we have to deal with. Conviction is, do you believe in something strong enough to not let it go? Conviction is, do you hold on to something so valuable that you can't let it go? Do we believe in the cross of Christ so much that I've got to tell it? I can't keep it quiet. It's too great a story to keep quiet. And if I have that, I pray that God gives me the courage to share it. Share it in prison every Wednesday night when I go in there and look at them men. Great big guys. You've seen, what's his name? What's his name that comes here?
Otis.
He's just a normal sized guy in prison. I don't know what they do. Well, they eat a lot and they lift weights. But I get the opportunity to go in there. And it takes courage. Because I'm not just going in there playing. I'm not just going in there saying, how's your day been? How's your week been? I'm going up and saying, do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Because I need to know. I need to know it today. I ain't got time to play at this. And some of them don't respond real pleasantly. Some of them tell you, no, I don't know him. I'm just here for the air conditioning. Because we have an air-conditioned chapel in prison, and the rest of them, it's air-conditioned in Yoke Fellows, too. Yeah, so that's probably why they're coming. No. But, you know, it takes a courage to do that.
That's why we don't have air.
Oh, you don't? Okay. Well, Dave and Alice have a call on their life, too, if they need air conditioning. And then we need an urgency. I'm not sure how long we got. Like I say, I'm 60, but the Lord can come back this afternoon. I don't think he is, but I don't think the job's quite finished. But I don't know that. So we need those three things. And I pray that God lights that in my heart, those three things. Christ brought us this boldness. He showed us this boldness. This is in Ephesians 3:12. In Christ, we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith to God our Father. Man, if we could just get, if I could get that. I mean, I can talk about it, but if I could get it. If I could get that. If I could just get that access part to God the Father, Daddy, Abba Father. If I could get that. You know, if my daddy was a baseball player, man, I ended up, my daddy was a preacher. My daddy would have been a rock star or a movie star. Or if my daddy would have been president or even a senator, I would have told everyone, hey, did you hear about my dad? You know, he played for the Yankees. No. He said, I can call him Abba Father. I have access to him. That's so awesome. We can't put that in our, we can't put that in this fleshly brain. We can play with it a little bit, like we do a lot of things. And I'm not saying that to be smart either. But can we really grasp that? Romans 8:31-32. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but give him up for all of us, how will he not also with him graciously give all things? That's boldness. That's, he's telling me that Bob asked for this. He said, through Christ, I'm going to give you all things. I'm not asking for more money. I'm not asking for more fame. I'm not asking for a church to preach in every Sunday. What I get out of this is I get the opportunity once or twice or three or four times a year to stand in front of a group of people and proclaim Jesus Christ. But what it does for me that whole week, I cannot explain. If you don't have a prayer life, if you don't have time in the scriptures, take my word for it. do it. If it don't work, come back to me, tell me it didn't work, and we'll do it again. Because it does. I get up before, this morning, this was the first time I've spoken in several weeks that Val didn't wake me up snoring. And I was so happy I got to sleep through the night. I thought that was a spiritual thing that was happening, that Val snored. But last night she didn't. And I slept all the way through to about 6 o'clock this morning. I got up and I got on my knees and I got in the Word as I do every morning. And that's so weird for me. I know that's something supernatural. There's a whole bunch of things. I could sleep another couple hours. And I could get up and have my coffee. And I could, you know, not that I don't have my coffee because, you know, I do. But I just thank the Lord for that. The Spirit empowers boldness. Now that we have Christ and we have access to the Father, the Spirit empowers boldness. You know, these disciples that was once froze with fear in the Gospels. Peter and John that were scared to death. Peter especially. We made mention of that earlier. In Acts 2:14 through 41, I'm not going to read it. After the Holy Spirit comes upon him, he gives a sermon. He talks after this, and 3,000 people come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he's just seen what happened. So he's taking a risk, like that young man did, getting in that kayak and paddling to that shore of the Sentinel Islands in the Bay of Bengal. Paul stood in front of this crowd of people. I don't know how many were there. Maybe he had 100% conversion rate. If that's the case, there was at least 3,000. How many people were standing in Jerusalem that day listening to this guy that just denied Christ? You don't think Satan didn't come to him and say, hey, remember what you just did? Remember? You denied him. You're not worthy. I don't know about you guys, but that's me. Satan reminds me. Remember? Remember those times? Yeah, you're not supposed to do that. You're not worthy. The other thing we see in the Gospels is it's contagious. Philippians 1:14 says, Paul's writing, and most of the brothers, having been confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul writes this in Philippians 1:14. He's in prison when he writes this, and he's telling the people that are reading this letter that because of my imprisonment, because of my walk, because of my dedication, other people are getting it. Man, that would be so cool. You know, I had the opportunity when the Lord brought me back into fellowship to meet some people that were serious about this. They were dead spot on serious about it. One guy, Odysseus, was just a different kind of guy. He'd get up 3 o'clock on Sunday mornings, he'd pray till church time, and he'd give a message that just was amazing. But it wasn't just on Sunday morning. It was Monday through Sunday for this guy. And the Lord showed me that. So it's contagious. So what do we need to do? You need to see me do it and not just talk about it. You need to see me work it out. You need to see me do this that I'm speaking of. And I pray, that's why I want you to pray for me, that I have this boldness, that I do whatever it takes in the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:13 tells us, I'm about to finish, and this is just what our flesh does not want to do. It resists the Spirit in order to keep us from doing what we want to do. To prayerfully pursue boldness in the power of the Spirit requires dying to the flesh. We visited that last week. That was one of Jesus' commands in the book of Luke. Luke recorded that. You need to pick up your cross and follow me. The things of this world's going to pass away. What you're giving up, you're really going to gain. You're going to give up this life of flesh, and you're going to gain a life in the Spirit. And it's going to be so much more. You know, you meet a person that's really, you know, for years and years and years, I struggled with this, and I wasn't really what you call a joyful Christian. I went to church. I did my church thing. And I quit doing some of the things that I wasn't supposed to be doing, but I wasn't really a happy person because I was still trying to do this both ways. I was trying to live in the flesh and obey the word and obey what the Lord had asked me to do, the calling on my life. And he said, that's not going to work that way. You got to die to yourself. You got to pick up your cross and follow me. And the reward that's associated with that is going to be so great. Last verse, Romans 8:6. To set your mind on the flesh is death, but to set your mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So we die to our flesh in order to receive life. Explain that. That's a spiritual thing. We die to our flesh to receive life. Am I willing to do that this morning? Are you willing to do that this morning? My prayer today, and I post this on Facebook, some of you have already seen it. Whatever it takes, Lord, decrease the hold that unbelieving fear has over me and increase my boldness to declare the gospel to everyone you put in my path. This week I want to give you a challenge. I studied the sermon this morning. It wasn't supposed to be about praying in boldness. It was supposed to be about prayer. And I was going a totally different direction. That's why I was going to go with the Lord's Prayer and go into the book of Jude and go there. And the Lord spoke to me midweek and said, do this. While I was studying that, the Lord showed me, because my prayers in the morning sometimes are feeble. You know, I get up and it's dark or it's almost dark and I'm sleepy and I bow before the Lord and, 10 minutes later I'm done. So I started studying, how do I pray? Lord, show me what to do with this. You know, I know if I was having a conversation with my wife, I could talk all day. A long time. I could talk a long time. If I was having a conversation with one of you, I could talk a long time. So the Lord showed me. He gave me the book of Joel and went to the 20th verse and then gave me a commentary on all that. And that was really good. But during midweek, he changed this to a prayer of boldness because we're going into the book of Acts. And I see this boldness lived out in these men's lives. So I want to challenge you this week. One of the things that the Lord showed me this week is you need to pray the Bible. You know, a lot of the prayers of Paul is in the Old Testament writings. I've got a whole list of Paul's prayers. And a lot of the prayers of Christ were in the Old Testament. Even some of the words that he said on the cross came from the Old Testament. So he said, pray the Bible. Pray in circles. So, pray first, Lord, I need you. Pray for me. Pray for Bob. I need it every day. Then I pray for my wife. Then I pray for my faith family. Every day, you guys. Every one of you, every day. So I got to start making lists because my hard drive's getting full. I pray for the prison ministry. I pray for my pastor. In circles like that. Then he said, pray for the scriptures. Pray the scriptures. So I challenge you this week. Pray the book of Romans. Open up to Romans chapter 8 this week. Do me a favor and pray the book of Romans. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Pray that this week. Pray it for me. Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, there's nothing left for me to do. I've been justified in Christ Jesus as far as my salvation. Pray for that for me this week. Romans 8. The life-giving spirit of Romans 8. Romans 8, you could just pray all day long. I mean, you could just pray that thing all day long. And pretty soon, I hope that starts coming to my memory when I'm about to have a fit standing in Lowe's because my order didn't come in. I've got flesh all around me. When my days don't go right or my person that was supposed to, the check's in the mail person, I got them. Give me that ability. Okay. Romans 12, I'm a living sacrifice. Christ was a living sacrifice. Am I willing to do that? So I just ask you this morning to do that for me this week. Think about what you pray. Think about your lists. Think about the scriptures. And think about the boldness that goes with prayer. It's changing my life daily. And I do sincerely request your prayers. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for your word, for your living word, for your it's amazing to me each morning, Father. I thank you for that. And I ask that you give me the ability that I say nothing in error, that I understand the urgency, that I have the conviction, and I have the courage to do what I say or what I'm telling these folks to do. But I can't do it without your power. I pray that you send Kurt back, and Kurt goes into this precept by precept, letter by letter, into this Holy Spirit, and rightly divide it as you have instructed us to do. That we understand that there's nothing that you're holding back from us. There's nothing that you're waiting to release to us, Father. That we have the ability today, if we humbly ask, Father. You said you would answer our prayers. Father, I pray for this church, that you'll take people out of this church and send them. I pray for this church that you'll have people in this church that just pray, that'll be on their knees. They'll move forward on their knees, Father, for people that don't know you, for people that are lost throughout this world. I pray that we financially are able to benefit the kingdom. I pray that you go with us this week, Father. Bring this to our minds many times. Develop us, help us develop our prayer life. Help us develop our fellowship, Father. Bring Kurt and Karen and the family back to us safe. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.